If you were looking for a thought or a kind of a verse or a scripture that would sort of underpin, if you like, or be the main point of our focus in what I want to say today, then it would be this, that he has done all things well. Okay, that's my main thought. He has done all things well. And I've been looking at Mark chapter 6 and Mark chapter 7, and I was looking at them for this reason, that I was preaching at a church, and they gave me these two chapters, one for each Sunday morning. And would I look at this, and would I preach? Well, if you look at Mark chapter 6, I think there's something like 56 verses in the chapter, and I thought, well, how can you look at 56 verses on a Sunday morning? The next one's got 37 or 38 verses. How do you look at all of that? It's not easy to pick out to look at it in depth. But as I was reading through these chapters and spending a little bit of time just reading them, I come to this point. He has done all things well. And I want to look at a number of things that Jesus has done well in these two chapters, morning and evening. And I want us to go away with this thought that Jesus does all things well, and that we praise him for these things. Now let's think about this for a moment or two. He does all things well. Now we could not say that of ourselves. Some things we do better than other things. Or maybe some things we do worse are not as good as other things. Even professional people, even the best of sports people, have an off day. They don't always do all things well. We don't even always do even the things that we do best. We don't always do those well. We couldn't say that. But it says in the scriptures about Jesus, he does all things well. Not just on the best days, not just on some days, not just on some occasions, but he does all things well. Jesus has done all things well from eternity to eternity. He'll do all things well. Jesus has done all things well. God has done all things well from the beginning of creation to the end of time. He does all things well. Right, I've emphasized that, so you've got that in your mind now. And I want you to go home and say, well, that fellow certainly said that Jesus does all things well. And then we can work out from that as a foundation. Now, what are some of the things in these chapters that he has done well? Well, let's start chapter 6 and look at some of the things that took place here. So it says, he went out from there, he came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. Verse 2, when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? His teaching, his wisdom, and his works. So you can picture the scene in your mind. Jesus comes to his own country, his own area, his own people. He goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach. He begins to work and share his wisdom. And it says there that the people were amazed or astonished, saying, where did he get this from? Verse 5 says he could do no mighty work there, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. It says also, verse 6, and they marveled, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. But you can picture what people said here in verse 3. So they listen to his teaching, they see his and hear his wisdom, they look at his mighty works, and they're absolutely astonished and say, where did he get this stuff? Is this not the carpenter? Is he not the son of Mary? Do we not know his brothers and, you know, Judah and Simon? And, are his sisters not here? Where did he get this from? How did he learn all this? And they're astonished at it. You can just picture it, can't you? Because it happens in our society. It's basically, who does he think he is? Where did he get all that from? Sure, don't we know him? They're astonished. What are they astonished at? They're astonished at his teaching and his wisdom and his power. And I was kind of just reading through this, not in any great sort of deep way studying it or anything. Just reading through it thinking, he has done all things well. Even his teaching, his wisdom, and his power. And then I sat there for a minute or two in a little study just thinking about this. And thinking, when did I last get amazed at the teaching of Jesus? And I kind of thought to myself, you know what? I think I've got familiar with this. I've got used to this. I have known this since a child. Not that I profess to know everything about the Bible. That's not what I mean. But I grew up in a home where I went to Sunday school. I learned the stories, if you like. I heard about it. But when did I last get amazed at the teaching of Jesus? And the wisdom of Jesus? I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry about that. I began to think, well, what has Jesus, very simply, what has Jesus taught me? What does the Bible teach us if you just picked out the basics? Listen, the Bible teaches us about creation. That's a serious lot of wisdom to start with. Then it teaches us about sin and the fall. Then it teaches us about death entering into the world. Then it teaches us about salvation. And it teaches us about heaven and hell and judgment and the devil and the angels. And it teaches us about the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus. Right? Teaches us about forgiveness, reconciliation, and peace with God. Teaches us the blessing of following him. It teaches us that Jesus is coming again. If you want to know when and how, you may ask sort of James or something, because or Richard, I didn't get that all worked out. But he tells us he's coming again. He's given us a whole world view. Just little you and I. The great minds and the academics of our country are trying to struggle with the most of this stuff. Hey, they were astonished at his teaching. And actually, they didn't actually believe him. He does all things well. That's a lot of knowledge. Can you imagine when the world tries to write about all that stuff, how many volumes it would take? But he teaches it in one little book. He does all things well. And he's still teaching. Then verses 7 through 12, we have the Great Commission. Then he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth 2 by 2 and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them what to take and so on. And he teach them what to say. And they went out, verse 12, and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. So the next thing we have here is the Great Commission. Listen, Jesus does all things well. He took these 12 disciples and he taught them and spent time with them. And when he felt that they were ready, he sent them out to proclaim the gospel. And he provided for them whatever it was that they needed. Don't take, you know the things it says there, you don't need to take these things with you. No staff, no money, no bread, no script and so on. And the Lord has provided. It says in another portion in the scripture, did you lack anything? And they said nothing. He provided for them. It's the first mission, if you like, first evangelistic tour, if you like, first preaching tour, if you like, of the 12 disciples. Listen, the Great Commission is still taking place to this very day. Jesus is still calling people to himself. He's still teaching them. And he's still sending them to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And many today are at the ends of the earth proclaiming the gospel. And they don't have much of this world's goods. They haven't taken a vast amount with them. But the Lord's providing for them. And they're still preaching that Jesus should repent. And they're still seeing people healed. It's amazing. 2,000 years on, Jesus is still fulfilling the Great Commission. Listen, he does all things well. Not just some things now and again. He does all things well. I began to think, I wonder how much money it costs to keep, I'll call it, the wheels of the Great Commission moving. I began to think of the missionary societies there are. I began to think of the missionaries and their families and what's needed to keep them alive financially. I began to think about the churches that there are spread across our country and all over the world. The amount of money that it takes to keep the lights on and the heat on. At least you got heat on this time. Last time I came, there was no heat because the thing wasn't working. It wasn't that the bill wasn't paid. You know, how much does all that take? It must be millions. And yet, there's no vast, you know, sort of business plan to make this thing all work. Jesus calls people to himself. He teaches them with his amazing teaching and he puts it in their heart to go off to China or South America or Africa or Billinghay and proclaim the gospel. And he provides for them. He does all things. Well, we're getting it now, aren't we? He does all things well. No matter what it is. Okay, let's, as I say, this is not particularly deep or anything. It was just me thinking through these passages and coming away rejoicing in Jesus that he does all things well. Okay, let's skip down to verse 30 and 32 of chapter 6. We'll come back to some of the rest of it in a moment. And like, we'll be here all afternoon, so don't worry. 30 and 32. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So they departed into a desert place by ship, privately. So, here's the story. Here's Jesus' handling of these disciples and Christian workers. So he calls them, teaches them, sends them, and off they go, preaching, and he provides for them. After a while, however long it was, they come back again, and what do they do when they come back? Well, we see Jesus' amazing leadership, we see his pastoral care, and we see his patience. First of all, he listens to them about the things that they had done and the things that they had taught. Now, they couldn't have taught a thing without him. And they couldn't have done a thing without him. And he was there when they did it. He didn't need them to come and tell them. He could have sat there or stood there, whatever. Said, yeah, I know rightly. Yeah, I was there when you did it. Yeah, what else? What? No, I know that too. But he doesn't do that. Jesus listened to the disciples tell what they had done. I think there's a tremendous lesson there. See, whenever missionaries, evangelists, pastors, church workers stand up and talk about what has happened or what hasn't happened, or the Sunday school teacher or the Mums and Tots group, or the youth leader stands up and says in his annual meeting a little report about what took place, what happened, who came, who left, who was upset, who got converted. Let's take a little lesson from Jesus. He listened to what the disciples said, even though he knew already. When the missionary that you support comes back from the mission field somewhere and has a night when he's going to show a few slides and talk about what happened, make an effort to come. Listen to what they say. Show an interest. It's vitally important. It's what Jesus did to the disciples. He does all things well. Second thing, he instructs them. I don't know what took place or what he observed, it doesn't say. But after he listened to them, he said, you need to come yourselves apart a while to a deserted place and rest. He obviously observed that they were tired, exhausted. You need a rest. You need to take a break. They went on a little cruise, actually. They took a boat, a ship. It wasn't for the rest of their lives. It was just a break. Do we ever observe, pastor, Sunday school teacher, evangelist, missionary, tired, and they need a break? And we could do something about it. Listen, he does all things well. He said, you need a little break. Come apart. Rest a while. Be refreshed. Take your ease, it just means. Go to some sort of secluded, solitary place for a little season. I spend a fair bit of my time working with faith mission workers, kind of in leadership and stuff. I found some of this here helpful. I found some of it challenging. Do I listen to my fellow workers enough? Do I observe how they are enough? Do I care enough? I felt challenged a bit about that. He does all things well. His teaching, his wisdom, his commission, his care of workers. He does all things well. We're going to be here a while working this out. What about his handling of the multitude? Verse 33. So they head off by ship to this little place privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran on foot thither and out of all the cities, and out went them, and they came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, now I'm not exactly sure what he was in, but when he came out in the house or whatever it was, or boat or wherever they were taking the break, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now here's his handling of the multitude. Just means a rabble of people, a great company, a great number of people. And when he comes out of this time of rest and he sees them, he perceives, he looks, he understands. I don't think he just came out of whatever it was and just looked and he saw just a vast number of kind of faces, but personless, and well, I don't know who all they are. No, he sees them as they actually are. And he sees them as sheep without a shepherd, defenseless, vulnerable, dependent, and needy. And he sees the crowd like that. People without answers, people without direction, people without understanding, people that are vulnerable, people that are in need. And what does he do? He begins to teach them. What does he teach them? Some of this amazing teaching and wisdom that he's given already. And he begins to teach those in the vast crowd. He teaches them, no doubt, with authority and power and wisdom and feeling. And it says, and he's moved with compassion, with sympathy, with yearning into action. He teaches them and he feeds them. Verse 34, verse 37, and he feeds the 5,000 men and whoever else were with them, and he feeds them abundantly, and to pick up the basketfuls of stuff that's left over. It's amazing. He does all things well. How do we perceive the vast multitudes around us? Do we just slip by? And I'm speaking to me now. Remember, this is me in my study thinking about this for me. How do I see the vast multitudes? Do I still have compassion for them? How do I see the people that are walking up and down our streets? How do I view them? It's easy sometimes to view them better off than I am. Younger than I am. Fitter than I am. With more gadgets than I have. You know? And then they get a bad dose of the feeling sorry for me job. You know? We can all do that. But that's not actually how to view them. Do I actually see the people that are marching up and down our streets, and if you see a crowd of people at a football match or whatever it happens to be, a ploughing match, whatever floats your boat, when we see a crowd of people, do you ever think how many of these know the Lord? What can I do about this? Moved. And when we see the needs, do we try to help? And I began to think about this and thought, you know, a fair bit of the Great Commission and what people do and what churches do fall into these two brackets. The Lord puts this within our heart. We're moved to teach people about the gospel, and when we see physical needs, we're moved to do something about it. How much does the church contribute to food banks and missionary work and humanitarian efforts? Unbelievable what comes out of the Christian church and the Christian community in our country. And what do we send missionaries to the other side of the world? What do we send evangelists out onto our streets for? To teach them, because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Friends, let's not get hard-hearted about it. Let's be tender-hearted and moved with compassion and see them on the broad road to destruction and tell them about Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Not one of them are going to go to heaven without Jesus. Let's tell them about Jesus. If there's something we can do, let's do. Listen. He does all things well. Let's skip down to verse 46. As I say, I'm just picking a few things out, and you can think about this and or whatever. So we have in those other verses, we have the feeding of the 5,000 and the leading of the disciples to that point and so on, and picking up the baskets that were filled up and all of that stuff. Verse 45 says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. So, what happens in the midst of all of this? In the midst of the vast crowds of people that have need and need to be taught and need to be fed in the midst of disciples that need to be listened to and commissioned and empowered. What does Jesus do here? He sends the disciples into the boat and he sends a multitude away and he draws aside by himself and he communes with God the Father. If you like, here we have his spiritual life, his prayer life, his quiet time after ministry and giving out. He has a time alone with his Father. In the midst of busyness, in the midst of demand, in the midst of genuine need, he does all things well. He takes time out to pray. Well, if he does all things well, then I need to take on board what Jesus has done here. And I need to take time out, if ever how busy I happen to think I am or not, to pray. He goes off by himself, aside, behind, away, apart, whatever way you want to translate the word. To pray, to worship. Now let me say, you're all awakened with me. Yeah? Nobody's gone off asleep yet or anything. Nope. Right, here we go. Now, we cannot live the Christian life fully. We cannot serve God powerfully. And we cannot see people and situations clearly unless we take time out to pray. We cannot live the Christian life fully. We cannot serve God powerfully. And we cannot see people and situations clearly unless we take time out to pray. Jesus couldn't. Jesus didn't. We will have nothing to give in ministry and to the people around us unless we're in touch with God. We'll just be an empty barrel making a racket unless we're in touch with God and something to give, me included. And when we have given to those around us and we have preached and we have given whatever we can, we've put in time and energy and effort and everything that we have, we run out of resources and we get empty. And the only way to be refreshed and refilled and recharge our batteries is take time out and spend time in the Word of God and spend time with God. No matter how busy it happens to be. Do I spend time with God? Do you spend time with God? Have you got a structure to it somehow or other, a plan? It's like everything else. If you just leave your prayer time and your Bible reading to, well, whenever I can, we'll never be able. But we'll always find time to do what we want to do. So we've got a plan, a structure, how we do it. Jesus does all things well. Here I think he spent the most of the night in prayer. I'm not saying you have to spend the night in prayer. Some people say, oh, better to pray in the morning. You should get up. You know, Wesley got up at 4:30 every morning. Well, that's good. Wesley went to bed about 8:30 every night. Culture was different. You got to work it out for you what works. And what works for your life. You know, people go on a crash diet, don't they? I could do with one, I know. But go on a crash diet and we don't eat anything, you know, for 2 weeks. And you know fine well you can never do this for the rest of your life. You'll die. And you can never keep up the discipline of it either, you know. This is just, you know, lose 2 stone and put it back on in the next month. You know, that sort of stuff. We all take at it spiritually like that. Oh, I'm going to pray. You know, and we're up early in the morning. And you know fine well we're never going to stick it. No, let's get something that's kind of balanced here that works. that we're taking time out to pray. We're disciplined in ourselves. We recognize in ourselves when we need to take more time and we need to say no to a few things. Jesus does all things well. He takes time out to pray. And we should learn the lessons here. Verse 47, our time is just about gone, I think. Verse 47 through 52. And when evening was come, and the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he's alone in the land, and he saw them toiling at rowing, and the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and he'd have passed them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a spirit, or had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Aha. Now Jesus is on the mountain praying, and he seems far away, but he sees them. Now he does all things well. What's he doing now? He's in heaven interceding, and he seems far away, but he sees us. He sees us. He knows our struggles. And what does Jesus often do for us in our struggles? Exactly like what he does for the disciples. He sees. He comes. He talks. And he joins us. Do you ever find that in some times of struggle? He comes along and he speaks to us from his word. And we're aware of his presence. And he joins us in the difficulty. And he speaks peace. He speaks peace. Listen, Jesus still speaks. And Jesus still calms storms. How many times in your life and mine has the Lord not spoken a little word through Psalm 23 or 1 Peter 5:7, cast your care upon him, he cares for you. Or fear not, for I am with you, be not dismayed, I am thy God. Or I know the plans that I have for you. And he draws near and he speaks a word, and he brings calm. And he enables us for the next. Listen, Jesus does all things well. And in the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples didn't recognize who he was really. But whenever he stands up and he calms the wind and the sea, they're amazed beyond measure. Well, there's more things we could pick up on in this passage, but our time is gone. We'll come back tonight and look at a little bit in chapter 7 along the same kind of line. He does all things well. A couple of points to finish. What do you need to take away from this passage? What do I need to take away from his teaching? What do I need to take to heart? Is he revealing to me who he is? If you've never recognized him as the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, and you've never trusted him. Friends, we're talking about Jesus, the Savior. And there's no other. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to trust him this morning. There's nobody like Jesus. What out of his example do I need to follow? And please don't go away and say that man says Jesus is an example. He is an example, but he's way much more than an example. You know I believe that. But he says in Matthew, let's learn from him. What do I need to learn here? Compassion. People. Praying. Worship. He does all things well. I'll definitely finish with this. Maybe you're listening to me and you're saying, it's all right in your life to say he's doing all things well. If you knew what I was going through at this moment and I've prayed about it and no change has come and I'm struggling. That's not easy. But it says in this word that he works all things together for good to those who love him. And one day we will look at it and look back at it and say, he has done all things well. I didn't understand it at the point, at the time. It was hard. I don't know why he let it happen. But he's done all things well.